Judas Unchained by Peter F. Hamilton. Narrated by John Lee. Copyright 2006 by Peter F. Hamilton. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Peter F. Hamilton and Anthony Gardner Literary, and was produced in the year 2008 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Prologue. Right from the start, there was something about the investigation that made Lieutenant Rennie Campuser uneasy. The first little qualm came sliding up out of her subconscious when she saw the victim's loft apartment. She'd been inside loft apartments, just like it 100 times before. It was the kind of plush metropolitan pad that a group of funky TSI soap characters usually lived in. Beautiful single people with well-paying jobs that gave them most of the day off, so they could enjoy a floor space of around 500 square meters, as they lounged around in an extravagant decor provided by overpriced interior designers. The kind of scenario completely divorced from real life, but full of dramatic or comic potential for the scriptwriters. Yet, here she was, a day after the Guardian's shotgun message that denounced President Elaine Doy as a Starflyer agent, being shown into just such an apartment on the top floor of a refurbished factory block in Daroca, the capital city of Arevalo. The massive open-plan living room had a wide, sunny balcony that looked out over the Caspe River, which flowed through the heart of the city. Like all the capitals of successful Phase One space planets, Daroca was a rich montage of parks, elegant buildings, and broad streets stretching away to the horizon. Under the planet's bronze-shaded morning sunlight, it glimmered with a sharp coronal hue, adding to the panorama's graceful appeal. Rennie shook her head in mild disbelief at the fabulous view. Even with the decent salary the Navy paid her, she could never afford the rent on this. And it was currently being paid by 3 first-life girls, all under 25. One of them was showing Rennie and Tarlo in. Catriona Salib, a small 22-year-old, with long curly black hair, wearing a simple green dress with strong geometric lilac stripes, except Rennie knew the dress was a fawn, which put its price tag over $1,000, and the girl was using it as a casual house dress. Rennie's e-butler printed up Salib's file in her virtual vision. She was a junior member of the Morishi Grand family, working at a bank in Daroca's large financial district. Her two friends were Tricia Marina Halgarth, who had a product placement job at Vecdale, a Halgarth subsidiary that designed chic domestic systems, and Isabella Halgarth, who'd taken a job at a contemporary art gallery in town. They fitted the whole profile, 3 bachelorettes sharing a place in the city, having fun together while they waited for their true careers to launch, or husbands of equal wealth and status to materialize and carry them off to a merged trust fund mansion to produce their contracted quota of children. "This is one great place you've got here," Tarlo said as they made their way into the lounge. Catriona turned and gave him a smile that was a lot more than simple politeness.
"Thanks. It's a family place, so we get it cheap."
"Plenty of wild parties, huh?" Her smile became teasing.
"Maybe."
Rennie shot him an exasperated look. They were supposed to be on duty, not hitting on potential witnesses. He just grinned back, perfect white teeth gleaming out of his handsome tanned face. She'd seen for herself just how successful that grin could be in the clubs and bars around Paris. Catriona took them over to the kitchen section, which was separated from the living room by a broad marble-topped breakfast bar. The kitchen was ultra-modern, equipped with every convenience gadget possible, all built in to swan-white egg-shaped wall modules. Somehow, Rennie couldn't imagine it being used for much actual cooking, not even by the complicated-looking chef-bots. The 2 other girls were sitting on stools at the bar.
"Tricia Marina Halgarth?" Rennie asked. "That's me."
One of the girls got to her feet.
She had a heart-shaped face and light olive skin, with small dark green butterfly wing ock tattoos flowing back from each hazel eye. She wore an oversized white toweling robe, like defensive armor. She kept clutching at the fluffy fabric, pulling it tighter around her. Her bare feet had silver rings around each toe. "We're from Navy Intelligence," Tarlo said. "Lieutenant Campusa and I are investigating what happened to you."
"You mean how gullible I was?"
she snapped.
"Easy, babe,"
Isabella Halgarth said. Her arm went around Trisha's shoulders.
"These are the good guys."
She stood to face the investigators. Rennie found herself having to look up slightly. Isabella was several centimeters taller than she, almost Tarlo's height. She was dressed in very tight jeans that showed off her legs. Her long blonde hair had been gathered into a single tail that reached down to her hips. It was an image of casual elegance. Tarlo's grin had broadened. Rennie wanted to push him against a wall and shout a warning about professional conduct, wagging her finger in his face for emphasis. Instead, she did her best to ignore the mating dance appraisals going on all around her and said,
"I've investigated several similar cases, Miss Halgarth. In my experience, the victim is rarely gullible. The Guardians have developed a very sophisticated operation over the years."
"Years?"
Catriona snorted.
"And you haven't caught them yet?"
Rennie kept her polite expression in place.
"We believe we are close to a resolution."
The three girls exchanged doubtful looks. Trisha sat down again, gripping at her robe. "I know it's unpleasant for you," Tarlo said. "But if you could start by telling me the man's name."
His grin mellowed to sympathetic encouragement.
Trisha gave a reluctant nod.
"Sure. Howard Liang."
She smiled feebly.
"I don't suppose that's his real name."
"No," Tarlo said. "But that identity will have created a lot of data within Daroka's cybersphere. Our forensic software teams will pull out a great many associated files. We can check on the false identity information, where it was inserted, possibly who was involved in forging it. Every little bit helps."
"How did you meet?"
Rennie asked.
"Party.
We get to quite a lot of them." She glanced at her two girlfriends for support.
"This is a great city,"
Isabella said. "Daroka is a wealthy planet. People here have the money and time to play." Her eyes gave Tarlo an amused glance.
"Trish and I are dynasty. Catriona is a grandee. What can I say? We're highly desirable."
"Was Howard Liang wealthy?"
Rennie asked. "He didn't have a trust fund," Trisha said, then colored.
"Well, he said he didn't.
His family was supposed to come from Villains. He said he was a couple of years out of his first rejuve."
"I liked him."
"Where did he work?"
"On the commodities desk at Ridgeon Financial."
"God, I don't even know if that's true."
She pressed her free hand against her forehead, rubbing hard.
"I don't know how old he really was.
I know nothing about him at all. That's what I hate most about this. Not that he stole my author certificate. Not that he gave me a memory wipe. Just being taken in like that. It's so stupid. Our family security office sends us enough warnings. I never thought they applied to me."
"Please," Tarlo said. "Don't blame yourself. These guys are very professional. Hell, I'd probably get taken in by them. Now, when did you last see him?"
3 days ago. We went out for the evening. I'd been invited to the Bourne Club. There was some event, a new drama series launch. We had a meal afterward. Then I came home. I think. The apartment domestic array says I got in at 5 in the morning. I don't remember anything after dinner."
"Is that when they did it?"
"Possibly," Rennie said. "Did Mr. Liang share his apartment with anyone?"
"No.
He lived by himself. I met a couple of his friends. I think they were from Ridgeon. We only went out for a couple of weeks. Enough for me to drop my guard, I guess."
She shook her head angrily.
"I hate this.
The whole Commonwealth thinks I believe the President is an alien. I'll never be able to face anyone at work again. I'll have to go back to Solidaid and get my face changed and use another name.
That would probably help, Tarlo said gently. But before that, we need to run some tests on you. There's a medical forensic team waiting down in the lobby. They can do this in a clinic or here, whichever you're comfortable with.
Do it here, Tricia said. Just get it over with.
Of course. Another team will sweep his apartment.
What do you expect to find there?
Isabella asked. We'll pin down his DNA, of course, Rennie told her.
Who knows what else we'll uncover, especially if they used it as their base. And we'll pull his files from Ridgeon Financial's personnel records, which I'd like you to verify. It would help to have a picture of him.
Won't he have had reprofiling by now? Catriona asked.
Yes, but it's his background we'll be focusing our investigation on, his past. That's where the clues to his origins are. You must understand, we have to crack the whole Guardian organization open. It's the only way to bring Liang to justice. We're not pursuing him singularly. They spent another 20 minutes in the loft apartment, taking statements from the girls, then handed them over to the medical forensic team. Rennie was halfway to the door when she stopped and gave the big living room a thoughtful examination. Tricia was going into her bedroom with two of the forensic team.
What? Tarlo asked.
Nothing.
She gave Catriona and Isabella a last look before leaving.
Come on, he said in the elevator back down to the lobby. I know you. Something's bugging you.
Deja vu.
What?
I've seen this crime scene before.
Me too. Every time the Guardians shotgun the Unisphere, the boss sends us out to have a look around.
Yeah, so you should have recognized it too. Remember Minilia?
Tarlo frowned as the doors opened. They walked out into the lobby.
Vaguely. It was 4 years ago. But that was a bunch of guys sharing an apartment.
Oh, so what?
You're going sexist on me.
It's different because it's girls.
Hey!
It was exactly the same setup, Tarlo.
And we've seen the all-girls group before as well. On Nzega,
April Galar Halgarth. She was part of a holiday group.
Bwangwa too, don't forget.
Okay, so what's your point?
I don't like repetition.
And the Guardians know we'll catch them a whole lot easier if they stick to the same pattern.
I don't see a pattern.
It's not a pattern, exactly.
What then?
I'm not sure. They're repeating their procedure. That's not like them.
Tarlo led the way out through the lobby's revolving doors and used his e-butler to call a city taxi over. The Guardians don't have a lot of choice in this. Admittedly, the number of dumb young Halgarths in the galaxy is pretty huge, but their living and social arrangements only have a finite number of permutations. It's not the Guardians who are repeating, it's the Halgarths. Rennie frowned as the taxi pulled up in front of them. He was right, though that wasn't the line she'd been thinking along.
Do you think the Halgarth security is running an entrapment operation?
They could have hung Tricia out as bait.
No, he said heatedly. That's wrong. If it was an entrapment, they would have caught Liang the first night he met Tricia. His identity history data might have stood up to a review by Ridgeon Financial, but a specific entrapment operation run by the Halgarths? No way.
They must be running entrapment operations. If I were the senior Halgarths, I'd be goddamn furious the family was constantly targeted by the Guardians.
Tarlo settled back into the taxi's leather seat.
They do tend to put a fair amount of pressure on the boss.
I don't think that's right either.
If they were running an entrapment, they'd tell us. Would they?
All right, maybe not, she said.
But as this wasn't an entrapment, it's irrelevant anyway.
We don't know it wasn't an entrapment.
They didn't catch Liang, and they haven't told us, which they would do at this stage.
Alternatively, they're busy tracking Liang and don't want to spook him by telling us.
That's not it.
She was having trouble even looking at Tarlo.
Something is just wrong. It was too neat. Too neat.
The tone of disbelief in his voice made her wince.
Yeah, I know, I know. But something bothers me. That loft apartment, those girls, it all shouted out, here are dumb rich kids, come and rip them off.
I don't get this. Who's in the wrong here? The Guardians or the Halgarths?
Well, okay.
I don't suppose it could have been the Halgarths, unless that really was an entrapment operation. He grinned at her. You're getting as bad as the boss when it comes to conspiracies. You'll be blaming the Star Flyer next.
Could do.
She gave him a weak smile. But I'm still going to tell her I think something's odd about this one. Career suicide.
Come on! What kind of a detective are you? We're supposed to act on intuitive hunches. Don't you watch any cop soaps?
Unisphere shows are for people without lives. Me? I'm busy in the evenings.
Yeah, she said snidely.
Still putting on your Navy uniform when you go around the clubs. I'm a naval officer. Why shouldn't I?
Rennie laughed.
God, does that really work?
It does if you can find girls like those three.
She sighed. Listen, he said. I'm serious. What can you tell Mayo? You had a feeling. She'll just bawl you out big time. And don't look at me to back you up. There was nothing wrong with it.
The boss appreciates the way we consider cases. You know she's always saying we have to take a more holistic approach to crime.
Holistic, yeah. Not psychic.
They were still arguing about it 40 minutes later when they arrived back at the Paris office. 5 uniformed Navy officers were standing in a group outside Paula Mayo's office.
What's happening? Tarlo asked Alec Hogan.
Columbia's in there with her, the commander said.
He looked very uncomfortable.
Christ,
Rennie muttered. It'll be the L.A. fiasco. I was supposed to be chasing the leads from that operation this morning.
We all were, Hogan said.
He forced his gaze away from the closed door.
Did you find anything in DeRocca?
Rennie was trying to think what to say.
Hogan was very by the book.
It was a standard Guardians operation, Tarlo said quickly. He was staring hard at Rennie.
We left forensics working through the scene.
Good. Keep me updated.
Yes, sir.
Standard operation, Rennie said scathingly as they walked back to their desks.
I just saved your ass back there, Tarlo said. You can say all that kind of intuition stuff to the boss, but not to Hogan. All that little prick is interested in is check marks in the box.
Okay, okay, she grumbled.
Paula Mayo walked out of her office, carrying her shoulder bag and the little rabicus plant she kept on the windowsill. A red-faced Raphael Columbia was standing behind her, dressed in his full admiral's uniform. Rennie had never seen Mayo look so shocked. It sent a cold shiver down her own spine. Nothing ever ruffled the boss.
Goodbye, Mayo told the office at large.
And thank you for all the hard work you did for me.
Paula? Tarlo gasped.
She gave him a small shake of her head, and he fell silent. Rennie watched Paula Mayo walk out. It was like seeing a funeral procession.
Commander Hogan, Columbia said. A word, please.
He vanished back into Mayo's office. Alec Hogan almost ran in after him. The door closed. Rennie sat down hard.
That didn't happen, she mumbled incredulously. They can't get rid of her. She is the goddamn directorate.
But we're not the directorate, Tarlo said quietly.
Not anymore.